Welcome to Showbiz Atlanta. I'm your host, Dana Barrett. It is Wednesday, April 25th, 3:30 p.m. We are broadcasting live from the studio at 200 Office at 200 Peachtree Street in the lovely downtown Atlanta. And I have a guest in the studio today, my friend, actor, writer, director, producer, jack of all trades, master of some, perhaps, Dorian Santiago. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Dana.
We've been crossing paths for a little while now, but I still don't know everything there is to know about you. I'm sure I never will, right? You're a man of mystery?
You won't. I try and keep a lot of my affairs private.
Well, there's no fun in that, especially not on the radio. But for people who haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, as I have, let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got into this crazy business. And okay, so let's start with this. You're from Chicago.
Yes, born and raised.
And ended up here how?
I got divorced about 4 years ago.
You don't even look old enough for that. Killing me.
And basically just try to escape the feelings that come with divorce.
Just looking for a new home.
Sort of.
Sort of, kind of.
Yeah, didn't want to be reminded of all the places and things and all that stuff. So took a... Took a trip.
Were you already involved in show business at the time you moved to Atlanta? Or was that a new thing?
That was a new thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you ended up here and decided to get involved in it. Is that so? Film, get the order straight for me. How did it go?
School. I graduated.
You were born a poor black child.
Yeah.
Or something.
And then adopted by a very wealthy white man.
Nice.
Actually, I think that's Arnold Jackson's story.
Nice.
Sorry.
We're off, people. We're off and running. This is going to be a fun show today.
When I finished school, I went back into customer service doing regular work. And
regular corporate crap.
Yeah, it was fucking horrible.
I love it.
Can't stand it, sitting behind a desk all day. And it was paying the bills.
But do you think you always had a creative side? Did you always like to write? And
oh yeah, I've been writing since I was 18.
Yeah,
actually was a poet first, and then as time progressed, I started writing little short stories and essays and things of that nature, and really found my niche with writing. Other than that, I want to say that I've been creative. I was a tattoo artist.
Really?
At one time.
Now, of course, I want to know like what tattoos you have, but you don't have to show me right here in the studio.
Well,
oh, okay. There's two that are perfectly okay to see in polite company. Just FYI. This is radio. You could be taking your clothes off. No one knows.
That's right.
So, all right. So you were a tattoo artist.
Yes. Actually, I tattooed for about 2 years.
Wow.
And I am pretty conservative as far as tattoo artists go because... I don't have a lot of tattoos. I only have four.
Okay.
And you see two of them.
I see two of them.
And the reason being is because the stuff I put on my body, I really want it to mean something.
Yeah.
I just don't want to put a bunch of shit that doesn't mean anything.
You know, it's interesting because I don't have any tattoos, but I've always thought about it, and I am deeply concerned that whatever I get now, I will not like in 20 years. That's one of my issues. Do you feel like that's an issue for people? I'm off on a tangent.
Well, no. That is a major issue for people because, you know, I think of it this way. At 18, when you're legally able to get a tattoo.
Right. You're an idiot.
You are. You are.
Let's just call it what you're a fucking idiot.
I mean, you know, most teenagers think they know everything.
Of course.
But if you really think about it in the grand scheme of things, if we live to even 80, like at 18, by the time you actually consider yourself an independent thinker, like I know what time means. Because even at 7, you're like, you know, tomorrow seems like forever away.
Yeah.
If I say, you know, next week to a 7-year-old, they're like, oh, yay. But they don't really know what the fuck.
No, no clue.
Yeah,
right.
Next week means.
You're right.
So when you're 18, you've really only like lived maybe a good...
A teeny little percent.
Yeah.
Of your life.
Very, very minor as an independent free thinker.
Correct.
So you really don't know shit.
Like realistically, at 18, maybe I'll give you 5 years of like thinking kind of adult-ish.
Yes.
Maybe.
Yes.
More like 3 or 4.
Right.
Okay.
And at that point, you know, you're going to put something on your body that
oh, that's right. cool.
Right. right? That's basically what everybody fucking says when they walk through the door. Oh, that's cool.
Right.
They don't really think about anything. So at right. that point, you do. You should have that concern.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe I should rethink this. Is this something that I want in my body? Now, a lot of people are like, oh, well, how's that going to look when you're 80? I'll tell you this much. At 80, I don't really give a shit how I look. So that doesn't matter. But I want to have cool stories behind my tattoo.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, why'd you get that? I got it because it was cool. That's no. a horrible story.
Right. That is
like,
a bad story.
Right. So everything on my body, it does mean something.
Okay.
And so I will never regret that I had it.
Yeah.
And at your age, you should be able to say, hey, you know, I can make an informed decision. And I know that in 20 years, if I make this decision now, in 20 years, it should still mean the same thing to me.
Yeah. Interesting. So. All right. Fair enough. I guess I am not 18 anymore. So I am old enough to probably make a decent decision.
Yes.
But it still does concern me. And also like where on your body do you want it? And if you're going to be an actor too, like you don't want anything that's going to interfere with getting certain parts. And
that is one thing that I didn't think about when I actually got these tattoos that you see.
Yeah.
And for everybody listening, they're on my wrists.
Yeah.
But they can be covered up.
And I have to say, like, I have known you for several months or more now, I guess, and I never noticed them till just now when you showed them to me. So.
Right. And most people don't.
Yeah.
Unless you are really looking for, oh, you know, do they have this? Or no one really cares.
Yeah.
So it hasn't affected my acting.
Yeah.
But yeah, most people get things that just say, oh, it's pretty. I just want something pretty.
Yeah.
And then that in 20 years
right.
will not look pretty.
Right.
So make sure that it's not something that you're getting just because it's pretty.
Right. And then, of course, the nice thing about like a piercing by contrast is you can take it out. You know, whereas the tattoo, getting it removed is a little more difficult.
Yes.
Just saying.
You still might have a hole.
Yeah, which you can see on people too. Do you ever notice that when you're watching movies or TV or something? A lot of times I notice on guys, I'll notice the ear pierce, you know, they're playing a conservative businessman or whatever, you know, the big stars. But then you see that they had their ear pierced.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I've noticed it several times.
I haven't really paid that much attention. I should make sure that they Photoshop or they do whatever they do because my ears are pierced.
Yeah. But I don't, I mean, obviously I don't think anyone cares because they don't bother to airbrush it out or whatever. And these are big stars. But see if you notice it next time now, like when you're watching a guy on a close up, because I have noticed it a couple times.
I think, but the only star that I know that actually has had his ears pierced would be Will Smith. I don't know.
That may be, but I have to think about it. I'll have to think about it, maybe tell you after the show, because I don't want to be wrong. I don't want people Googling and going like, he never had his ears pierced, but there's a few, I think, older guys, actually.
I believe it.
Yeah, a few that actually, I've noticed.
I don't know why I want to say Harrison Ford.
That's very possible. I think Harrison Ford might actually be one of them.
Yeah,
and I want to say, now everyone's going to be, all our listeners now are going to be Googling going like, okay, ear pierced Harrison Ford. But also I want to say, his name is not coming to me right now. I can pick Morgan Freeman, I think, possibly.
Ah, you're right.
Yeah.
I think I've actually seen him with his ear pierced also.
Yeah. So I think there's a few like that. But I've noticed it when they're playing roles where they would not have their ears pierced. And
right.
I have noticed it on film, but obviously it's so minor. I'm just ridiculously detail oriented, apparently.
Yeah, that is a little odd.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're looking at men's earlobes.
I apologize.
It's fetish.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about that on our fetish show coming up in the next hour. Okay, so back to you. So where did the whole acting part come from for you?
Well, I have acted pretty much all my life, as everybody has. Professionally, though.
I was going to say, like, what are you, just a big fat liar? What are you saying?
Yeah, well, most of us. I mean, we try and get away with things and act like, you know, we like people or act like we don't like something.
Sure.
There's a bunch of situations.
Like when I say, does my ass look fat in this? And you say, no.
I have to be convincing.
That's you acting.
I have to be fucking convincing, right?
Yes.
Because you know.
I know my ass looks fat in this, or I wouldn't have asked you in the first place.
Right. You're just testing me.
That's right.
See how good of an actor I am.
Exactly.
Right. So if I can convince you, then that's great. And
the Oscar goes to today's guest, Dorian Santiago.
Yes. Famous line.
That's
no,
right.
Your ass does not look fat in that.
Now, I want everyone in the listening audience to realize that I never, ever would have said that if in any way I thought my ass looked fat today. Just FYI.
And it doesn't.
Thank you.
Just
good
so
acting.
You know.
This is like catch 22. We could just be in this loop for the whole rest of the show. Okay. So anyway, you've always been an actor, but professionally.
Professionally, I picked it up about it's coming up on 3 years.
Okay.
When I moved down to Atlanta, I moved about 4 years ago. Guy in the mall, like no shit.
Really?
Story. Guy in the mall, one of those. It's one of the new scams, and I am happy to say that it's a new scam. Like 21st Century Entertainment is one of the new scams.
Okay.
The old scam was like John Casablanca.
Yeah.
And like Barbizon.
Right.
Those people.
Yeah.
You know, huge money makers, but they basically get you in and say, oh, you need all of this.
Right.
And then you have to pay like outrageous amounts of money. Well, the new one is 21st Century Entertainment. And basically what they say is they're going to get you ready for a showcase.
Okay.
With, you know, hundreds of producers and casting directors and like, it's ridiculous.
Okay.
Like, what they try and sell you
yeah.
is going to happen. And you pay like $3,500, something like that. And
right.
they give you like 3 coaching sessions for your monologue to perform in front of these people. I knew it was a scam, but I went anyway. And at the time I was playing, poker with a friend of mine, and he is an actor. He's actually worked on several Tyler Perry movies and TV shows. His name is Njima. And I asked him if this was a scam. And he had talked to a couple of people in the industry, and they said, it's not really a scam, but you can get around this so much easier
yeah,
by just taking acting classes.
Right, right.
And same thing happens.
Right.
I still think it's a scam because
yeah.
They sort of guarantee. It's like, oh, yeah, we guarantee that this is going to happen. And it doesn't really happen. And then they find loopholes on how not to fulfill their guarantee.
Well, and anything where they're asking for big money up front is, even if you're getting something for your money, you know, where you, if you can't a la carte shop for what you want, like an acting class here and a headshot over there and whatever, then you know, you're walking a little bit into scam world, right?
Yeah, definitely. So, and this industry is like filled with that.
Yeah.
You know, they want their money up front. And for everybody listening out there, if you are trying to break into the film industry, know that you should not put up any money up front unless it is for headshots or acting classes.
Right.
Other than that, agents, managers, they take all their money on the back end.
Right.
So,
and I would add too, I mean, I've been in this a lot less time than you. I mean, I've been kind of playing around with it for less than a year, and, you ask around. The first thing you do is ask around, ask people where they take acting classes, who they like, who they don't like.
Right.
You know, where they got their headshot done. If you see somebody's headshot that you like, if you see somebody's that you don't like, ask, you know, where'd you get this done? And you know, do some internet research on your own and, you know, just be careful about the scams. And anybody that's promising you stardom, run the other way because
yeah.
they're full of shit.
Yeah. I mean, it's cliche, but knowledge is power.
Yeah.
In any industry and in life. So it's powerful to know what is good and not in this industry.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, when you go, most of the people that are in it for real are really, at least what I found, I mean, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like most of the people that are in this for real are really nice and really willing to share their resources and tell you what they know and connect you to the right people. And nobody sort of wants to see anybody get scammed unless they are a scammer.
Right.
And so, you know, when I went to my first acting class, I asked everybody, well, who's your agent? Who's your, you know, where are you getting information? And everybody, that's how you learn in this business.
Right.
So never be afraid to do that.
Yeah. Network.
Totally. Speaking of which, Get Connected, I think, is tonight, right?
Yes, it is.
Are you going?
I am not.
Oh, darn. I haven't decided yet. Jury's still out. See how tired I am at 5, 6.
So, yes.
So acting, a couple of years for you. Two or 3 years.
Yes. I started acting classes with Dwayne Boyd. He works with Premieres Actors Network out in Decatur.
Yeah.
And the energy of the classes was absolutely phenomenal. Continued to go, practice my craft. Say within, I don't know, 6 months, I actually was booking gigs.
Awesome.
So I'm actually paying nothing major on an independent level, but I was definitely booking things.
Yeah.
And I'd say within a year I had an agent and have been going on auditions. And then I started testing other classes. You know, I don't feel that you should stay in one place too long. You become stagnant.
Yeah.
You sort of plateau.
Right. I agree.
So started taking classes at Creative Studios of Atlanta. Actually have taken some workshops with LA coaches that have come.
Yep.
One Her name is Crystal Carson.
Yep.
Live and die by what she says.
I've heard good things about her.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So, and then from there, I just started teaching also. So I teach classes out in Douglasville.
Very cool.
Teach mostly teenagers.
Yeah.
But I do some private coaching on the side with adults, and I've not gotten any bad reviews yet.
That you know of.
Right.
Somebody's acting and telling you you're wonderful.
Then I've done a good job.
And the next leap begins. Okay, but there's more, though, because you've been doing some kind of interesting project lately, some webisodes and some... So tell me about that.
Yes. I was a writer first, as
right.
I said.
Right.
So I've always been writing, and one of my... The co-star of my web series, it's called Easy.
Yeah.
Spelled E-E-A-Z-Y. His name is Benny Demas. And I met him in my first acting class with Dwayne Boyd. Basic conversation. Hey, you know, what's going on? How long have you been doing this? That type of small talk that led into, well, I'm a writer, and he really wants to do something. And people that he had talked to before really didn't follow up. So everybody that's out there, it's all about the follow-up. Remember that.
That is true across any business, anywhere, and it's a lesson that a lot of people have trouble with.
Yeah. Like, totally. It's so strange. Like, all you have to do is just follow up and keep people informed of that you're there.
Right.
That you exist and of what you do.
Right. And frankly, if you can't do something or you're not going to do something, it takes one email to just say, hey, listen, you know what? I thought I was going to make this work, but I can't. You know, when I'm ready, I'll give you a call back.
I agree. And then you shouldn't even, I mean, if... Don't ever take on more than you can, you know, do anyway. So
that's another tough one.
Right. So don't even make there's no reason to make that connection in the first place if you know, look,
you
I'm just
it.
Too busy right now.
Yeah.
So, but I met with Benny. We started discussing a little bit of his life. He grew up in the Virgin Islands, and he was basically a gangster.
Yeah.
Down there.
Yeah.
There's nothing really else to do.
But be a gangster.
But to be a gangster down there. So when you're a teenager, that's what he did.
I like how it's like you say it like it's like working for the ice cream shop. Like, you know, that's all there was. So that's what he did.
And
he's a gangster.
He'll tell you the same thing. It's sort of like, hey, yeah, this is what we do.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. Yeah. So he eventually decided that, you know, he wanted something better. And he became a DJ. And he currently is the DJ for Akon.
Oh, cool.
So
that's a cool gig.
Yeah, it's a great gig.
Yeah,
I've seen a couple of his performances. You know, he hasn't taken me anywhere, but I've seen them on
hint,
TV.
Hint.
Yeah, come on, Benny,
if you're listening.
Yeah,
Dorian wants to go.
Well, he's in the Virgin Islands right now celebrating Carnival, so he's actually doing performances of his own.
Oh, very cool.
Because he also raps. But yeah, we started talking. I didn't actually know he was the DJ to Akon when I started talking to him. It was just, yeah.
Or you might have been more nervous.
Possibly.
That's not your style.
No, it's not.
I know.
It's not. But I think at that point, I wanted to make sure, I want people to make sure that they know I am genuine in my interest in them.
Yeah.
Like, I thought he's a great actor.
Yeah.
And he's a great person. If you see him, he looks sort of crazy. He has a mohawk.
Yeah. Well, I watched a little bit of the webisode.
Yeah. So he can come across as very intimidating.
Yeah.
He's a super, super nice guy.
Okay.
So
I was wondering if, you know, how close his on-screen persona was to his real, because he's kind of like a badass in the webisodes.
He's a super badass.
Okay, just checking.
And he just, he channels his badass from being a gangster back in the Virgin Islands.
Right.
But yeah, he, great guy. Like I said, it was a genuine interest in his story and actually doing a project together. And then I found out later, oh, he's a DJ for Akon, so he was able to bring in a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Towards the project.
Nice.
And that's why it actually looks as good as it does.
Yeah, it looks great.
I want to give big shout out to Benny, because if it wasn't for him, like, the project wouldn't be nearly as great as it is.
So now you're writing that.
Yes. He bounces a couple ideas off of me, but I'm the writer.
Okay.
I take some of his ideas, incorporate them in there, make sure it's all formatted right. And we also sort of co-direct.
Yeah.
We co-produce.
Yeah.
And we co-star.
Yeah.
So, and on this level of independent filmmaking, that's what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack of all trades, like I said. Yeah, you kind of have to wear all the different hats.
Yes.
And it's good experience for later, you know, no matter which end of the business you end up in, more of your time it's good that you to kind of see all sides of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we are actually going to be coming up on our third, and I hate to say this, but it will be our final season, because I wrote it like a movie, so it was going to have a definite end.
Okay.
Once we actually finish it, though, we're going to try and pitch it out to see if we can actually get it turned into a series.
Cool.
For TV, or turn into a major motion picture.
Yeah.
With that said, how many people ever have brain farts?
Oh, everyone. Yeah? Well, while you're working on that, I'll ask you this, because I'm sure people who are listening now are desperate to go see these. So where can they find the series?
Easiest place to find them would be at bennydemus.com. That's
okay.
BennyDemus.com. You can also find them on YouTube if you just search Easy. That's EEAZY webisode. You should be able to pull them all up. We do have 10 episodes. And
so does that mean it's 5 a season? So you're going to do 5 more?
Yes.
And auditions will be when?
they will be soon. Oh, this is the reason that I actually brought it up, that we're having our third and final season. We are bringing on...
See, I knew I'd get you there.
Yeah. we're bringing on a producer. His name is George Pierre.
Okay.
And... we're trying to up the level of this season by actually having a real producer so that we can focus on our acting and directing and all that other stuff, because producing is a really hard job to have while you're doing the others.
Sure.
If you're just a producer, it's probably easier. I don't want to say it's an easy job, but it's probably easier.
Doable.
Right. If you're trying to do 4 things rather than the one, yeah, it's a little tough. So we're happy to bring him on.
So if you need someone to play your older sister, I think I look a little bit like you.
Yeah.
I could pull it off.
Yeah.
Just saying.
We both have dark features.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there.
Okay.
This is on the radio networking, people, in case you're wondering what's going on here right now. What else do you have going on right now besides that series? Anything major going on? Are you writing anything new?
Well, I actually have written several things. I do have a major motion picture that I've pitched to a couple people. It hasn't gone anywhere just yet, but it is called The Color Scheme. And it is...
Did you change the name of that? Does that change names?
No.
Okay.
No. I just have other projects also.
Oh, okay. Keep going. So, sorry.
The color scheme is... it has to do with a white racist. His name is Christian. And he has to basically come to terms with his beliefs and see if, you know, he faced them when he is ordered by the court to take care of his black daughter that was born out of a hate crime rape.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like the intense stuff.
I'm definitely controversial.
Yeah.
I want things that haven't been out there.
Yeah.
And if anybody tries to steal that idea, just know that I have copyrighted it. So.
And you heard it here.
Yeah.
So we have proof that it's your idea right here on Showbiz Atlanta.
And I have other scripts that are finished and just basically looking to get the funds to produce them.
Yeah.
I will be doing a short later in September, one of my own scripts.
Right.
I will be directing it. I will not be starring in it. And basically, I'm just trying to get stuff out there that's going to create diversity.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of people in the Atlanta market, Tyler Perry's here, does a lot of black films.
Right.
And then there's, you know, white films. But there's no good mix.
Yeah.
You know, you might have, you know, a black film with a token white person.
Right.
Or a white film with a token black person.
Right.
You know, and that I really want to get away from.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, you know, a diverse cast.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what we really need. And that's my goal, is to get there.
Yeah. You know? So if you were giving advice to someone who wanted to get into the writing side of the business, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that I am available at $50 an hour for any time of consultation.
Hey, that's fair. If people want to find you seriously for writing or whatever, for acting, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Let's see how well this works.
Yeah, let's do it.
You can actually email me.
Wow.
I'm going to give you my personal email. It's dorian.bd, as in building dreams, @gmail.com.
All
and
right.
If you have any questions or anything, any material that you'd like me to look at, I would be happy to do so. And for those of you that are really scared that people are going to steal your stuff, I'm too busy with my own shit to really worry about yours. And most of the stuff that's out there, we think it's better if it's ours than it really is.
That's true.
Yeah. So I get my stuff out to as many hands as possible after I've copywritten it.
Yeah.
And get advice. I can always change it after the fact, but get it out there because you really need an audience. You don't, you know, hey, I'm a great writer. I want other people to tell me that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I also think that we generally think that all of our ideas are original, and most of the time they're not.
Oh, and I know that mine aren't.
Yeah.
I just have pretty good twists.
Right. Or there's the way that you craft the language or whatever else that is uniquely you. But the actual, I mean, how many repeats of, I mean, look at Hollywood. How many times are they just remaking an old movie or a comic book or a whatever? Like, nobody has an original idea anymore.
Yes.
So.
And what's really disturbing about that is that audiences pay for it. So they're not forcing Hollywood to come up with original shit.
Totally.
Yeah, it's horrible because people are going out and watching Transformers 3, which I thought was horrible. Like acting wasn't very good.
Yeah.
The story was shit. You know, like.
How do you really feel about it, Dorian? Fill me in.
It was actually awesome. No, but you have like special effects and shit blowing up, and people are like paying money for that.
Yeah.
And you can get just as much money, if not more, from a good story.
Yeah.
Something along the lines of Hunger Games, which I still don't think is the greatest story, but it's a different story.
Yeah. And even that, it is a real, I love the, I mean, I'm a book person, you know,
I know.
Used to own a bookstore and I'm into books. I do all kinds of book related stuff. And I love those books. They were really super fast to read. But even that is by no means an original idea. It's an original take on an old idea.
Right.
And that's great. But I mean, how many times have we heard stories of, I mean, it's Survivor at some level. It's just that it's kids.
Right.
And instead of them, you know, just getting off the island and getting to go to Hollywood, they die. But like, you know, but like we had Lord of the Flies. I mean, these are ideas that have been done and done and done.
Right.
It's just a new twist.
Right.
And it's a new enough twist that people are like super intrigued, which is awesome.
Yes, because if you notice, there's not, I mean, I guess there was an explosion or two and there's some death, but the storyline is what basically tries to sell this.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, love story.
Right.
And, you know, love for a sister.
And survival.
Love for family, and survival of right. yourself. All of those things. So it's, if we get back to that type of storytelling.
Right.
I mean, Hollywood still make millions and millions of dollars.
Right.
You know, and it's a shame that our society has dumbed themselves down.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them just are dumb. They didn't have to go anywhere. There was no going down. They just started out dumb and they're still dumb. Briefly before we wrap up, mm-hmm. I know you've spent some time in LA, so you've been out there. Yes, you have.
Okay.
No?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I guess what I was going to say is that there's, you know, a lot of stuff going on here, and obviously there's more stuff going on there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel compelled to go out there at some point, or you feel like there's enough of space here to kind of make a career here, or what do you think about that?
I think no matter what you do, you find a way to get it done to the level that you want it done at.
Yeah.
So it might – some people would say, hey, you know what, if you want to be successful in this business, you have to move to L.A., I want to be great enough where LA comes to me.
Yeah.
You know, like if you write a book and your book is great, you have publishing houses coming to you.
Right.
Right. You don't have to track them down. So, I'm starting small.
Yeah.
You know, basically doing what all of the independent filmmakers are doing, you know, trying to make, shorts, put them in Film Fest, get your name out there a little, and eventually people will come to you, you know. Put a viral video out on YouTube, and the next thing you know is people are knocking on your door like, hey, will you write something for me?
I think, I mean, obviously, I'm a little bit older than you. Just a little. But
really?
A little bit. But I think that, you're so sweet. What a good actor. I think that, you know, things have changed so much over the last, in terms of what's available, what you can put out there from anywhere in the world. As opposed to what you could do 20 years ago.
Yes.
Where you probably did have to go to Hollywood or go to New York. And now, I mean, I just feel like you can, I mean, filmmakers can with relatively inexpensive equipment and, you know, live locations outside or whatever else, you know, create pretty good looking stuff that can go viral. And you can do it from Peoria if that's where you are.
Yes.
You know, which is pretty cool. So in a way, I think, you know, it's easier to start in a smaller location because you can afford to live here, for example.
Right.
Which is not so true in LA or New York.
Right.
And there are people here. There are resources here. There are, you know, other actors and producers and directors and people to learn from and classes and all those kinds of things. So my personal advice to anybody starting out is don't rush off to Hollywood. That's my idea.
That would be my advice also. I mean, you take something like Paranormal Activity, which, again, I thought was shit.
Yeah.
But so cheaply made.
Yeah.
And they made millions and millions of dollars. They didn't have to go to Hollywood. Hollywood came to them.
Right.
Like, it was like, oh, all you have to do is get something where people will champion for it.
Yeah. I really think the key to any of this, whether it's, you know, training is all important and all of that stuff, but at some level it's perseverance and talent. You know, if you're really talented, but you don't have the perseverance, if you're not continuing to write or act or whatever it is that you do, whatever your thing is, if you don't stick to it, it's not going to happen.
I agree.
Hollywood is not going to find you working behind the counter at the CVS. You know what I mean? Like, you might think they are, but they're not.
Some people.
It's pretty rare.
It's rare. It happens. I'm not saying that you should bank on that ever.
Right. You should be out there trying, right?
Yes. Every day.
Right. So I think, and you have to have some basic talent. Like, in other words, you're not going to become a famous writer if you can't spell and you have no ability to put a sentence together.
I mean,
you have to have some talent.
Yes. So for all those people that are text speaking and don't know the difference between there, and there.
Yeah. Or it's and it's. That's, I always
right.
struggle with that one.
All of that stuff. Make sure that you educate yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Because you get turned away real quickly. People in Hollywood still know what education is.
Yeah. Yeah. I get emails from people all the time, you know, from PR people that want to present somebody to come on the radio or whatever else, and they can't even spell. They can't even put a sentence together. And immediately, like, delete, because if you can't even, you know, if you can't put a sentence together, I can't trust that you're going to come on and be a good, solid guest on a radio show.
I completely agree.
You know, or a guest blogger or whatever the case may be, or frankly, a date. Like, I'm sorry, if you can't put a sentence together on an online dating site, one sentence without a spelling error, I'm not interested.
With that said, I do want to thank my mother and my father for putting me through school.
Excellent.
For private school.
And making sure that you could spell and
make sure
and write.
That I actually had a great education because it really helped.
Thanks, M&D.
Love
you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think those are hugely important things, but talent and perseverance, that's what I think. And you have both, so.
Thank you.
There you go.
And your ass is really nice.
Tiny in this outfit. Absolutely tiny. So, everyone, I want to thank you for listening to Showbiz Atlanta. My guest again today, Dorian Santiago, who you can reach at his email address, which is?
Dorian.bd, as in building dreams, @gmail.com.
All right. This has been Showbiz Atlanta. I'm Dana Barrett, and we will see you next week.